Okay, we were learning Chalkas Mechaikas Ches, and at least the first majority portion of today's shiur is going to be a shiur that would have been science fiction 50 years ago. And today is Ma'isim B'chol Yom, literally routine Ma'isim. We started discussing last week the issue of IVF, IUI, which are procedures which involve impregnating a woman, has to be with sperm, but not b'derech bia, not in the manner of a physical intimacy. And there are two or three issues here. There are two ways that, two typical ways that the procedure takes place. IUI is a procedure by which the man's sperm is injected into the woman during her period of ovulation. Nothing happens in a test tube or in a lab, but if the feeling is that the woman is fully healthy and that the man's sperm is not, it has to be mature sperm, nothing otherwise doesn't help, but that the man's sperm is not moving properly. They measure two things in sperm. They measure the amount of sperm and its motility in the whether it swims rapidly enough for it to make its way to pregnancy. So IUI is where they inject the zera into the woman, which is the most similar to the case in the Chalkas Mechaikak that we're going to discuss momentarily. IVF is where the fertilization itself takes place outside the body, in the so-called test tube, or today in a dish, in a Petri dish, where they put the sperm and the eggs together. It's a much more involved process because IUI, you don't have to harvest eggs from the woman. She goes at a regular ovulation time and they inject sperm. It's a relatively simple procedure today. IVF, they have to harvest the ovum or the eggs from the woman. And since a woman typically in a regular ovulation period only ovulates and develops two or three mature eggs a month, if they can go through all procedure, the woman goes beforehand for shots, and there's an entire process to try to make sure that when they harvest, they can harvest multiple eggs. It's a much more involved, tedious process, but it's almost typical today. The shaila that the Chalkas Mechaikak, which we'll revisit now, deals with is a shaila of kiyum pruravu. And we'll try to explain what the nidain is. The shaila is whether having a child, even through IUI, here it means, not through derech bia, whether with that is a kiyum of the mitzvah of pruravu. You ask me why not? So that's what we'll talk about. There's a second issue, which has to do with the yichus of the child. Now, the question, if the sperm is from the father and the egg is from the mother, is relatively minor. I mean, it has to do whether the child is miyuchas after the father or not miyuchas after the father. But there are times where donor sperm is used, and that makes it into, obviously, a much more difficult shaila. If the father's sperm is not able to impregnate his wife, they use donor sperm. They call it IVFD. IVFH is the husband's sperm, and IVFD is a donor sperm. Where that's used, where there's a taina that it's a shayla mamzeris of an eshes ish becoming pregnant from someone else. Now, we're going to discuss what the Paiskim talk about, and we'll get to it. Today, there's a third situation. So IUI is where the woman's not becoming pregnant. They usually go straight to IUI very quickly. It's not complicated. IVF, where is a case where the woman's eggs are fine. It's typically the man's sperm which has a problem, which is a minority of fertility issues. Most fertility issues are in the woman. And then there's number three, where they have today, and it's the last in the series, but where they have egg donors, where a woman doesn't produce eggs, but she has a healthy uterus. So they get donor egg, and they do the same thing in the lab. They take the husband's sperm and the donor egg and fertilize the egg and then implant it in the woman, and the woman goes through a full 9 months of pregnancy. But she's not carrying a child that's biologically her child. She's a host mother. She's a, some would say she's just an incubator. It's not her child. Others argue it is her child. So I'd like to go through all three. Obviously, in Shulchan Aruch, we always look for Makairis. There are two Makairis for the, at least the initial discussion, and that is the Chalkas Machaika Kir and the Taz in Yeridei. I'd like to read them both to you. And as always, the Shulchan Aruch and the Shas is the makar for any new shayla. So let's go in order.
They even have an inverse of the last case, is where they take the husband's from the wife's egg, or not necessarily, and put it in a zone
in a host mother,
in a surrogate mother, surrogate uterus. You have the exact face.
So they're doing the same thing, except the other one carrying doesn't plan to keep the child.
And, no.
Okay, I hear. Okay, it's the same. So that's part of the question. What's the question? So let's go beseder. Okay. Yeah, it should go to the right place quickly. The longer the sperm floats around until something happens, the less viable it is. It degrades. Okay, so one of the things that Dr. Babich upstairs tells me, he's always, Dr. Babich had never had background in Shas. Two cycles ago, he was so moved by CMS Shas, he said, I don't care if I know what's going on, I'm going to sit through Daf Yomi. He goes to Daf Yomi, anything that has to do with science, he marks down. And he goes and finds, he has already, he should publish a book. Now he comes to me and he says, I don't get it. How did Chazal know that that the Zera is good for 72 hours? How did they know? Today, science, so I said, what do you mean, how did they know? How does science know? They knew from the manufacturer. Like, how do you know? Like, he's amazed, 72. And the other thing, that male-female trigger is 40 days into pregnancy, which today they say call it 7 weeks. They measure the weeks differently, but today they say 40 days. It's amazing. I'm sorry, friend. Oh, from Mount Tyra, 3 days. They're perished 3 days before. Okay, I said we know from the manufacturer. So okay, let's try to go beseder, because obviously there are a lot of questions. And some of which challenges logic, but we'll try to go in order and get to the answer. It starts with Chalkas Mechaika Ches. Yesh lo estapek. It's important to know the Chalkas Mechaika does not have a conclusion. Chalkas Mechaika Yesh lo estapek, Isha shenis abra be'ambati. The idea of a woman becoming pregnant in an ambati, which I mentioned to you last week from Ben Sira, is actually mentioned in Chagiga Daf Yodalad. The idea, which I'll mention to the Gemara shortly, that a woman could become pregnant by ambati, meaning of a male ejaculated sperm into the bath water, and then a woman took a bath in the same water. We're talking in days where it was one bathhouse for everybody, and the zera traveled up into her body and made her pregnant. Imkiyim ha'av puravu. Number one, was the father Makai Puravu, that's our first Shaila. V'mikri b'noi l'chol davar. And what about Yichus? Is the child, the father's a Kayin, is the child a Kayin. U'b'lekutia b'aril nimsa, sheben sira. I want to go in order. We're going to talk about why it shouldn't be and why it should be. I want to go in order. U'b'lekutia b'aril nimsa, sheben sira haya b'noi shel Yirmiya. Sherachatz b'ambati, that Yirmiya led Zera into the ambati. And Ben Sira became pregnant. Kisira begamatria Yirmiyo. You see, we don't paskin halachas from that. It's just a remez that he was the son Ben Sira, the son of Yirmiya. Bayim b'sefer avaydis hakaydish l'rav yishol akayim aram kordavira zitzal b'chelek hatachlis perik yudzayin. He doesn't end up with a maskana. He says, yesh l'stapik. Now, the question, why this way, why that way? So, like I said, let's go beseder, read what it says, and then we'll get to it. Now, the Chalkas Mechaikach says, yesh l'stapik. Beishmul, on the other hand, you go to the left side of the page, you have to go down 8 lines, in the Beis Shmuel, from the top of the page down 8 lines, Kasa b'chalkak b'chaykak. Yesh l'stapek, isha sh'nisabra b'abati ma'av kayim pur revuvim yikra b'noy l'chol davar. Zokt de Beis Shmuel, yesh l'havi ra'i b'imash kasa b'agos smak v'abach hevi'a b'yaradeh kutzadikei. Isha musheres shal tifka al tishkav al sadin sheshochav aleihem ish acher. A woman should not lie down, it means undressed, on a sheet in which a man slept. Pentes abe mishich v'zera shal acher. In case the man left zera on the sheet, and it'll somehow work its way into the woman. Why is that also? What's so terrible? Now, what would you say? What's so terrible? The shall be a mamzer. He doesn't say that. He says gezera shabiyisa achoise me aviv. It's a gezera. The Bach says that she'll become pregnant. She won't know who the father is, and she'll have a child. The child may be a boy, and and then she may later marry unknowingly her sister. She thinks that this woman's husband is her father. Or she just doesn't know who her father is. And she may unwittingly not marry a relative. Nishma dahavi b'noi l'chol davar. Guess what? From this Bach, we see that it is the son of the father. Because we're saying now that if she becomes pregnant from someone else's zera, we're afraid she'll marry a relative. What relative? Is she related to her father? We see, yes. The father's a father, even if the pregnancy took place through zera, which came out of the body, and then later went into the body, not in the manner of intimacy, we see that nevertheless it's considered b'noi l'chol davar. So the Beis Shmuel, not only Beis Shmuel, the Bach and Beis Shmuel, that say clearly that it's b'noi l'chol davar. That's as far as Yichus. They don't say v'mekayim per revu, but he says it's b'noi l'chol davar. Now, obviously, if it's not b'noi, it would be more logical that you're not mekayim per revu. We'll talk about the pros and cons regarding Puru Revu in a few minutes. Don't ask me any whys. Just you should see what it says. The whys we'll get to. What it says is.
Have a what then?
You go ahead.
Don't you need Yorah Kechetz in order to confer the
Bina? So the Zeras be Yorah Kechetz. Gemara says, Kol Zeras Yorah Kechetz Eina Mazria. The understanding is that if when it leaves the body, it's not Yorah Kechetz. It's not the semen that comes out doesn't have adequate sperm. If it's yarek echeitz, then it does. Once it comes out with the sperm, then you can become. It's possible to become pregnant. Yeah, Ben Sira, that he's asking about. Now, there's a third maramachim. The chakas mahen the Beis Shmuel. There's a taz in yaredeya hilchas nida kufza dekei zayin. The important thing is that the Taz says it. The Taz there says, Matsasi ba'agos smak yashon, b'shem Rabbeinu Peretz. We just said that a woman shouldn't be on somebody else's sheet because she might become pregnant from that man's zera, and the child will be miyuchas after that father. Isha nida. What about a nida sitting on a sheet with a husband's zera? Isha nida yachayla lishke vasadine baila. There's no iser in a isha who's a nida. She could be ovulating, could be she doesn't go to the mikveh, and she's sitting on her husband's sheet. It's fine. Isha acher is no good. Pentasabe mishuchzel shalacher. In fact, the taz ame ena cheshesus pentasabe minidasam mishuchzel shalbaila viavlad ben nida. Why don't we say the same thing? We don't want a child to be a pogum, a ben nida. So why should we be mata lechatchila? Beheshiv. Kivan de'ein kam bias iser, havlad kosher legamri, afil tisabe mishuchizel shalacher. Ramesh's binyan is on this language. The Taz here says a rule. People say it's Ramesh's rule. It's not Ramesh's rule. It's the smack quoted in the Taz and in the Bach. He says clearly, for a child to be a mamzer, there has to be a bias iser. An eshes ish, and chalila, another man is bayil her, and she becomes pregnant as a child, that vlad is a mamzer. Eshes ish, who doesn't do any bias iser, but another man zera impregnates her not through bia, whether the zera is on a sheet or the zera is in a syringe that a doctor injects would be no difference. There's no maisa bia. The Taz says clearly that kivan de enka bi asisir have live kasha legamri afilu tesab shuchzeu shalacher ki aloi ben sira kasha haya al shuchzeu shalacher kaptina na avchana. We don't do a lechatchila worried about avchana that he may marry his sister, but otherwise there is no there's no issue. Now Ramesha in all his tshuvas, what? I don't know. There are different midrashim. His sister, Yirmiyah's wife, Yirmiyah's sister. It's not clear. Whatever the stories are, again, sticking to Allah. Ramesha in his tshuvas keeps on screaming that there's a Bach, and a Beishmuel, and a Taz, and a Smak. These are poskim that we paskim from. People tainted to him from, I mentioned last time, Tshuva Yashon that they found from a Rabbeinu, I forgot who it was. And so you can't try tainted to Sefer Bar Livoi. They quote Svarim that are not the regular poskim in Halacha. So Ramesh keeps on screaming, what do you want? Now, let me just finish, okay, because I've started the question, I'm not going to get anywhere. So, I'm not talking about the whys of it, which we'll get to, but we have clearly in these paiskim that it's okay. Now, it's not a ben nida, because it's not derech bia, same thing should be mem
seiris. The one who's concerned about marrying his sister.
Well, then why does he mention these concerns of any Jew? If it's Mamzeris. So here it's not clear that it's an Eshes Ish. And here it's clear talking about an Eshes Ish. Now, what? Kuf Tzadikei in Yerodeya, the Taz is Nayan. One more Maramokim on the page, and then we'll get into the Lumdis of all this, because if you jump to the Lumdis, we could talk a whole day and be confused at the end. The other Maramakim is the Taz on the bottom of your page. It's a long Taz, but it starts on the first column, the last two words. Okay? On the page, same page, the last two words. It starts, Mechalkas Mechaika Kosav. You see the very bottom? He quotes Mechalkas Mechaika Kosav. Yesha Stapik Ishish and the Sabra Bambati, Imav Kiyim Puravu, Vinikabalai Lacholdava. Vehivi, it should be Vehivi Yai Habe Shmuel, or Vehivi Habe Shmuel Raya. On that, the Taz says, "Ein zeh raya." There's no raya from that bach. The shem lechumra amrinan. Maybe lechumra. We say it's benoy l'chol davar. It's miuchas after the father l'chumra. He might marry his sister. L'kula l'ayamrinan. Who says he say it l'kula? Befrat v'midi ditali b'kum v'asei v'nisabra me'atzma. De'ena yaitze b'zeh. Maybe he's not yaitze p'ruvul. This is the Taz's taina. Taz doesn't argue la'alach. He says ena raya. What? Oh yeah, so I want to get to Yerusha as well. So they get to Yerusha, to Kahuna. The most practical, embarrassing thing about this, using someone else's zeres, is the father's a kayin, his wife has a son, and the son's not a kayin. It's not the father's zera. So in practical terms, that's really the most difficult thing. But again, to go in order, so the Taz doesn't argue. The Taz says, ein eraya. Ramesha, it's interesting, in Igris Maisha, in the Chelik Beis, Tshuva Yud Ches, he has numerous tshuvas. He says that the Taz on Simen Aleph was not written by the Taz. The whole Taz of Simen Aleph was written by the Magia. So I don't know if I should know this, Ruach HaKadosh. So I went to introduction. There's an introduction. The Taz, you know, here is in the bottom of the page. Narachayim, Yerodeh, it's on top. There, the Taz published the Taz B'chayav. Here, this Taz, in the introduction, it says, I think his grandson writes, he found notes from his Zayda. And they're starting to fall apart, and everyone's telling him, print them quickly. And he says, I don't have on the whole thing. Wherever I don't have from the Taz himself, I did it on my own. I stuck in my own my own chidushim instead of the Taz, so I did it. What's the difference? Me, the Taz, all the same. So Ramesh writes the introduction that this is not from the Taz. A little confusing his lashon there. The language seems to say that it's from the Chacham Tzvi, but I don't think that's correct. It probably was an abbreviation that got spelled out. I'm not sure. But whoever quotes it, they call it Hamagia. They don't call it the Chacham Tzvi. It would be a Chacham Tzvi, it would be a different story. It would be a reliable source. It sounds like his grandson. If you look at the Hagdama, Nefta, he could be great-grandson. So now we're going to start a discussion of it, but what we have clearly on the page is Chalkas Machaikik is Mesupik. The Taz in the bottom is Mesupik. He says, Eini Raya. The Beis Shmuel, the Bach, the Taz and the Smak seem to hold that it's Menoy L'chol Davar, it's Miuchas Acharav, and it's Miuchas Acharav. This is sort of the background. What? If it means a Lekula also, then the Taz says maybe it doesn't mean Lekula, but assuming he means it Lemaisa, said it should be a Kain too. If his father's child is his brother, so... In Chagiga Daf Yud Dalit, the Gemara is a case of Besula Shenis Abra, very appropriate for December 25th. I once heard B'Shem Detels a Rav and tells De Prava April Fool's Day. Rosh Hashiva does something for April Fool's Day every year. They have such a Messiah from Eliezer Gordon. The Minik tells is you do April Fool's Day. So someone asked him, why does April Fool's Day have to do a Yiddishkeit? So very simple. There was an unmarried girl who became pregnant. She gave birth December 25th. So they said, would you become pregnant? She said, oh, from God. If you trace back 9 months, she became pregnant April 1st. So go believe her story. You know, she became pregnant from God. You know, that's April Fool's Day. So that's the makar for April 1st. So, you know, he held it to be a religious holiday of some sort. At any rate, the Gemara Chagiga says Besula Shenisabra. You have a Besula Shenisabra. What are the possibilities? Two possibilities. Both are not common. Either Nisabra Bambati, he became pregnant Bambati, or the Shmuel says there are people who are Bikiyim Libayel Bahatia. The Gemara says it's possible to do a Bia without breaking Besula. So one of the two uncommon things happen. The Gemara in front of us in Chagiga says Besula Shenisabra Mahi Lekayin Gadol. Is she still? Do we say Nisabra Bambati? She never had a Bia. She's a Besula. She can marry a Kayin Gadol. Or do we say no? Probably someone was Bail her Bahatia and she can't marry a Kayin Gadol. The Gemara blives it a shot. Rabbeinu Chananel's Girsa is Besula Shenisabra Mahu or Mahi. Not the word Lekayin Gadol. Mahi. And he says it's a shaila whether she has tumas leida, whether she brings a carbon yoledes. What's the nidain? He says she'ein ani kairaba isha kisazria, shezehu maisa nisim. It's not a normal pregnancy. Now, what does it mean maisa nisim? So Rabbi Chanan in the Kovit Shura of Aksuvas Daf Samach explains. I saw in the Paradis Yosef a parshas va'eira. He talks about this as well. And they say the following. Rabbi Chanan has a long arichus, Kavet Tzaris, and here in Ksubis, a klal gadol in the Torah, all mitzvahs ha-Torah, you're only mekayim in the normal manner. All averis. Only averis if you do them normally. It goes through a list. If you do melach on Shabbos with a shinoi, you do it with a shinoi. It's not a seder aisa. You can do every melach in the book. If you do it a shino, you're not over a deraisa. Achila, if you eat treifis, shaloi kederach achila in an abnormal way, not over minatayra. Hanoah, shaloi kederach hanoah, you're not over. Bia, shaloi kedarka. Bia, shaloi kedarka. You're only chai when there's a ribe akra. The Gemara Darshan is an extra pasik to be married by Bia, shaloi kedarka. Demistamazai, Bia, shaloi kedarka is not. You take a luliv, instead of holding it straight, you hold it upside down. You're not mekayim the mitzvah. You took the lulav. Torah says v'laka. Everything in the Torah assumes a normalcy. When it says ma'isa nisim, he doesn't mean that it's literally a miracle. He means that it's not a normal way of becoming pregnant. Nisarba bambati. So mahu, does she bring a carbon? Doesn't she bring a carbon? Does she have tumas leida? Doesn't she have tumas leida? Right, these two questions for us are not so negaya. It is negaya. Lagabe a number of other shailas. For example, I saw Psak b'shem Rav Yosham in the Nishmas Avraham, who questions whether you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for an eighth day bris for a child that's born through IVF. He questions, since it's not Isha Kesezriya, it's not the normal Isha Kesezriya V'yalda Zachar, it says there that you do a bris mila on the eighth day. The later was normal, and the pregnancy wasn't normal, so Rabbi Yashiv questions it. In the back of the Nishmas Avraham, the Hisafais, he brings this this issue. Now based on this, we can understand what's a suffix if you make kain pur revu. You're doing a mitzvah in the abnormal way, assuming it's the man's zera, which gives birth to the child. So that he says yesh stapek by nisabra bambati if you make kain the mitzvah. What's a suffix? It's miyuchas achra. What's a suffix? The suffix is you're doing a mitzvah shalei kederech. If you eat matzah, shalei kederech, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. If you, any mitzvah that you do, if you do a mitzvah, shalei kederech, if you shecht with your left hand, the carbon, then you're not mekayim, then it's not a good carbon. You can, if you're a righty, you can do it. A righty writes a Sefer Torah with his left hand, it's a possible Sefer Torah. It has to be kederech. So, okay, good. So this is the question. If you do a mitzvah, shalei kederech, whether you're Mekayim Puruvu. I'm not talking now about the Shiloh, whether you should do it in the first place, which we'll get to. But if it's already done, Miyuchas Achrav, we have a strong Mekayres. And if you're Mekayim Puruvu, is a Shiloh. Now here, I want to add my own two cents, if you don't mind. Rabbi Chanan talks about the issue of grafting. We all learn Gemara. How do you graft things? You take a branch from a lemon tree, and you graft it, what is it, lemon and orange, or grapefruit? You take a branch from a lemon tree, you attach it to an orange tree, and presto, now you don't get grapefruits from that grafting. The fruit of that fruit, later, if you plant that, sometimes you get grapefruits. That's how grapefruits are made. People assume that the grafting itself does it, lav dafka. It doesn't. It's the fruit of that, with the seeds themselves, that about half the times are crossbreeds. They don't do that today. Today, when they crossbreed, they don't do that. Just a brief overview of how grafting works, and I don't want to get into it in great detail, but it's negated to hear. The way, what does it help if you graft one tree onto another tree? The wood doesn't decide the nature of the fruit. It's not the wood of the tree. There's nothing that produces a fruit. The tree just gives the carbs to the growth of the fruit. It doesn't. The identity of the fruit, we learn the story of the birds and the bees. The way every blossom works, the center of the blossom is what we would call the nekeva, or the egg. And growing around it, when you look at a tulip and you see all those nice sticks sticking out all around, those sticks on top of them have the, it's called stamen. So the stamen have on top of them the zera ish. And basically, when birds come to collect their pollen, on their wings they get some of this so-called zera ish, the male, and they fly from one to the other and they deposit it on other flowers. The ones, not every flower becomes a fruit, but most of them, the bigger the orchard, the more likely. If you have just one tree, less likely. But the birds, the bees, they bring the, what we would call the zera'ish to the zera'isha, and that's how a fruit grows. In crossbreeding, it's not the wood that does it. Even if you were to take an orchard and plant lemon tree, orange tree, lemon tree, orange tree, lemon tree, orange tree, and just mix them out well, you get the same result as you would get in grafting. You just need the bees to go from one to the other. That's the way it works. What they do today is they use what they call the mitzah zera. What they do today to crossbreed is mitzah zera. It's called is they harvest and they have a pitcher full of this what we're calling the zera ish, the zera, the male zera, and they just deposit it physically without bees. They deposit it onto the eggs and they get grafted fruit. The Shoyal wrote to Rebbe Chanan, he didn't write Rebbe Chanan, Rebbe Chanan's quoting a journal, somebody wrote in a journal that today's grafting is mutter. We don't graft trees like Chazal were talking about. We pour liquid onto the flower and it should be mutter l'chatchila. Min ha-Torah, it's only us a kedarkai. Ravona didn't ask this. So he writes to Rebbe Chanan that he writes in the Yarchayim, this should be mutter l'chatchila. Rabbi Chanan says, and for our discussion, this is crucial. Rabbi Chanan says, the Torah says a halacha. Shalai kederech, you're not makayim the mitzvah. But shalai kederech depends on the place and time that you're in. If in our place, in our time, the derech of grafting is through the mitzvah zera, then that's kedarka. That's considered normal. And it becomes kedarka, and your iver. This is Rabbi Chanan's psak. In the 21st century, where pregnancy through IVF most flowers don't become fruits through mitzvah zera. Most of them do naturally. But when they want, for whatever reason, they use mitzvah zera to do it. Same thing is true today. IVF has become routine. It's a private thing. You don't hear about it. It's extremely routine. It used to be a woman had to marry X number of years till they would accept you, till insurance would pay. I think now it was already 12 months a while ago. I think now even 6 or 8 months of trying, they're covering it, the insurance company. So where Rabbi Chanan, it's exactly mitzvah zera. If you think about it, what is it? The normal way of a flower becoming, so to speak, impregnated, becoming a fruit, is through nature. The male, so to speak, male zera falling on it. Today they take it in a syringe or in a pitcher and they put it on. The same thing. The sperm. What percentage is done in the world with mitzvah zera? It's a fraction of 1%. But it's normal when you need it. The same thing with fruits. You think they're doing this when you drive in Eretz Yisrael, see all the fruit orchards. Everything's becoming. Everything's growing naturally. When they have a reason to do it, they do it the other way. That's all. So it should come out that even if you were not Mekayim for a Ravu, in the time of the Chakas Mechaikak, when the Sabra Mambati was very rare, right? Rabbi Nachalan calls it Maisa Nisim. Shabbat says it doesn't mean a miracle, it means one in a million. So even if then it was one in a million, today it's become normal. It's what normal. What?
What's the cutoff point? What do you want to say now?
It's a very good question. I'll tell you, anybody today who has fertility issues does it this way. Anybody who wants to graft a fruit, everyone does it this way. Not everyone wants to graft a fruit, not everyone has fertility issues. I don't know, but today it's so typical, so normal. There's always a problem. So okay, I understand Rabbi Chanan's a chiddush. I'm saying Lafir Rabbi Chanan, it would answer it. Rabbi Chanan's a chiddush, but it's not my chiddush. It's Rabbi Chanan's chiddush. Rabbi Chanan is not the Chayyadam in the Mishnah Berurah, but I'm not passing halachas from it. You remember we're talking about a man who has a hard time doing it any other way. I mean, they're doing it for a reason. They're not doing it for fun. So I'm saying that he would be Mekai. It would seem to me that he'd be Mekai for a rebel. No, it's not Bia. It's not the Bia. The Torah didn't ask her non-physical Bia. But the Torah had nothing to do with pregnancy. This is a Bia, zero to do with pregnancy. This is a Bia, and this is a Bia. It could be an elderly for a woman who can't become pregnant. It could be anybody. Even a mubaris, you can't become pregnant again. And be has zero to do with pregnancy.
Nowadays, they're trying to say that after 9, 10 months, 11 months, they should go already on this program.
Yeah. You want to know my advice or medical advice?
No, what are we saying?
The medical advice is go as soon as you're covered by insurance. Honestly, that's the answer. As soon as you're covered, go for it. That's what they say. The doctors say, what do you lose? No, really, emotionally, you don't want to do it that way. You know, a lot of people I have in yeshiva, I'm involved with a lot of young people. I always give them a bracha when they become pregnant that way the first time. From now on, it should go naturally. They tell me I'm a Navi. Afterwards, it goes naturally. Very often, the tension and it inhibits the pregnancy. And once a woman is calm, and later on, it's more common for it to go naturally. Now, if they have medical issues, serious medical issues, then it's a different story. But very often, it's the tension, the pressure. We live in a generation where everything is maximum stress. The stipler writes a crying digger, so you should wait at least 2 years. But the stress they felt 2 years in 1960, and the stress they feel now after 10 months is the same. It's a very, 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 everything in today's society, not editorial comment, it's just a fact, nobody's fault. Everything today stresses people out very quickly. We have very short tolerance for pressure, and there's nothing you can do, the fact is that way. Because we machber. And I'm using it to be meikel.
Yeah,
okay. I'm saying a svara. I'm not paskening any halachas. Rav Chaim is saying lechom riyavan grafting. I'm saying lekula yimakayim pur ravu. Yimakayim pur ravu. Okay. It could be. It's not a right. It's just something to think about. That's okay. Anyway. What's a comparison? What's a comparison to what? Ambati. And Bati is identical. I'm talking now not whether you're allowed to do lechatchila. I'm talking once it happened, now you make kaim puravu. And Bati and IVF is the same thing. Or not IUI even. But post facto, it doesn't matter if it happened coincidentally or if it happened deliberately. Once the child is born, you can argue it's not a right from Bati, you're allowed to do lechatchila. I hear it. I'm talking now b'di'eved yesh l'stapek m'kiyam puravu. On the yesh l'stapek, it's a good raya. To me, it seems to be the same fraction of percent as grafting through mitzah zera. Sambati is not the derech, 100%. But IVF is the derech.
The Rav discussed in an earlier share about whether it's a Maisa or the Totsa that makes it Puravu. So if it's the Totsa, really...
Okay, so it's true. It's true. I discussed in the past if Rabbi Chana and Rabbi Moshe, the Mechaschinuch, if the Kiyum Mitzvah is in the Maisa or in the result. According to everybody, once you have a son and a daughter, there's no Chiyuv. Whether you omekayim the mitzvah, it's taka true. If the key mitzvah, if you hold the key mitzvah as the zruma ma'isabiyah, then you're right. The question is, if this becomes a derech, if this itself is also a key mitzvah. Now, if you have someone else's sperm, you're certainly not omekayim for revu. And let me get to the second issue. Yeah.
Doesn't really hinge on how we define the word key. Isha key tesviyah.
Well, we'll discuss that. I don't want to discuss the xeris hakas, we're going to get lost. Okay? I want to discuss the halach. Forgive me. Now, that's shaila number one, b'diav. Like I said, Rav Moshe writes in very strong lashonis. He gets angrier in every subsequent tshuva. They bring this Bar Levoi quoted in the Darkei Tshuva. They keep on bringing it. So finally, you know, like in the third tshuva, he says that it's divrei hevel, divrei shtos. He doesn't use the word shtos, he uses hevel. What do you bring me divrei hevel for? In the beginning, he says, look, the Bar Levoi, Bar Levoi, but you can't start up with a bacha, b'shmuel, and everybody else. Eventually, he calls it hevel, a talmataya. He gets more and more upset as time goes on, but. But it became the political issue by him. The shaila is whether you're allowed to do IVF lechatchila. That became the issue between him and the Satmar Rebbe, and it became a very public fight. And the way about doing it lechatchila with a different zera. with different zera. Yeah, their argument was using somebody else's zera, and what? From the husband.
Yeah, but
from the husband. Yeah, not from others.
No, even for others.
No, no.
Yes.
The different. Okay. Maramokam Anilach Michas Yitzchak Chelak Dalit Shuvahei. He has a letter to the Satmar Rebbe, acknowledging receiving the Satmar Rebbe's letter, and writing back. I do want to tell you, I don't know what's going on in Satmar. I don't live there. I've met Satmar Chassidim, who, for whatever reason, spoke to me. The only way to have a child is through IVF. They told me, for whatever reason it came up, they moved to London. They moved to London for 2 years. They said he got a job in London. They're moving there. They went 2 years. They came back 2 years later with a baby. And they went on with life. They didn't want to do it in Al Samar, to the place where the meeting is lesser. What it says there, Menachem Yitzchak.
The problem was artificial insemination.
Yeah.
I'm talking about someone else's zera. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Artificial insemination is using someone else's zera
and
to
bring
the mother. Right.
Yeah. But IVF in the tomb.
They're with the husband's zera, but now with someone else's zera.
The tube,
fine. If you don't put it in the lady, what's it going to do for you?
Eventually.
I'll tell you. Let me tell you what it says in the tube of Michas Yitzchak. He says, Michas Yitzchak, he quotes the Satmar Rebbe, and basically what he says is, Chazal will cheshish for havchana. Chazal said that you shouldn't sit, a woman shouldn't sit on a sheet. She may become pregnant from Elsa Zera, and her son will marry, might marry his sister. What are the odds that she'll become pregnant from someone else's Zera, and she'll have a child who, of all the millions of Yidden and Kanai Dahar in the world, she's going to marry Punkt, her sister? Teretz is, Chazal will cheshish, v'yichos they will cheshish. We find in the Gemara that Chazal will cheshish by Yuchsin for very distant chashashes. So the Satmar Rebbe writes, Chazal u'chayshish, that the yichus should be known. And here, when you use donated sperm, you're going to impregnate the woman with somebody else's sperm. She doesn't know who her sisters are, who her brothers are, who her father is. She doesn't know. And the same chashash of avchana. So why yamata lechatzila? One second. So Satmar Rebbe says they could use shel goyim. Now the person is not necessarily neman who brings you the sperm. Now it's not a shem shabbos, they has nemanis, but Ramesh says you go basarayv. Now a guy's sperm, there's no yuchsin by a guy's sperm. So you're not miyuchis. Besides, you're not going to marry a guy, but there's no yuchsin bechlal. And memela. Mainly, you go basarayv, you assume it's a guy's, and once you assume it's a guy's, the whole afchana shayla comes off. To be on a sheet where a guy lie down, not a problem. If she becomes pregnant from a guy's zera, so the child can't marry a sister because he has no sister from this father. He's not related to the father. So Satmar Rebbe writes, first of all, who says he's semach harayv lechatchila? Who says he's supposed to go into something and rely on rayv? Second of all, this takes imagination. He says it could also cause a problem. How could it cause a problem? This son will be born from this pregnancy. He thinks his father is this Jew, and it's really a guy. So his son's going to be born. Then his brother is going to get married and die, and his sister-in-law will fall to Yibum. And he's going to do chalitza for her, because he thinks it's his brother. Follow? He thinks it's his brother. The Satmar Rebbe says it can also cause problems. If he'll be born, he'll have a brother, the brother's wife will fall to Chalitza, she'll do Chalitza to him, no, she's a Yavama Lashuk. Assuming there's another brother, the other brother has to do it, not this brother. And so Satmar Rebbe says, aha, I gotcha, I have a case where it could come out. You're good. I have a case where it could come out. So Moshe writes, I don't understand. When the boy grows up, you whisper to him, if your brother's wife falls to Chalitza, don't do the Chalitza. Just whisper to him, you don't do the Chalitza. Just tell him. Tell him, don't do Chalitza. What's the big deal? So you tell him. What? Even his only brother, yeah. Yeah. So, but this is his taina. Really, this is just one of his tainas. His main taina is we should have babies where the yichus is not known. He's made by a guy. He's not mamzeres. I don't know. This true, but he doesn't address it. It could be he's concerned. It could be they bring a Mishle Melech that says the act of shooting the Zera in could be an issue, which would be enough gemina for what he's saying. That if you don't shoot in the Zera, if you impregnate the egg, then it would be better. By God, it's not in Zera. So, what? With what? So the question is, how wide do you go with Havchana? All right. Look, Chazal were very mad. Chashash will marry his sister. Such a vaita chashash. Okay. Yeah. I'll talk about it now. Shtuki beduki, right? Okay, shtuki beduki, she's Neman. The Sufi shayla is the shayla. The akulas was man azer. But Yashin holds that the Sufi is muta bekal. It's not for this moment. We're gonna get a Sufi shtuki. We're gonna get. Now,
in the time of day,
which
is in our times,
should do anything to have a child. Should do anything to have a child. That's mitzvahs. They'll do anything. The what? What about it? You don't know who it's from. They don't have a sherm on donated sperm. There's no such thing. On the husband's sperm, there's one hospital that has shaimrim, and they have a hechsher on it, and there's such a thing. There's none on outside sperm. There's no such thing. So it's illegal. It's against the law to know who the donor sperm is. That's the way the law is today. Today there's a movement, part of the progressives, is to be megala everything. A child should know. It may change, but right now it's you're not supposed to tell, which makes sense for many reasons. In other words, you're not supposed to tell the child or the recipient of donated sperm or donated eggs who the donor is. The law says to break it and keep it separate, and we don't want the donor to come back and say it's my child, and you know, I feel emotionally attached. It becomes an issue. Now, at the risk of this becoming a whole new topic, I do want to mention to you a little bit about donated eggs, about host mothers, which is something I personally was very involved in. There was a couple, one of the Tamidei Yeshiva, who by the time they came to me, they were already holding by using donated eggs. The wife didn't produce viable eggs, and they were married for quite a number of years by that time. And now when you get donated eggs, you get a questionnaire. You choose black eyes, blue eyes. There's no guarantee what the child will be, but the parent, the donor of the egg, is a profile. You know, you don't want to get donated eggs and sperms and then have a Chinese-looking child or a black-looking child. You know, you want the child to somehow fit. It really is. It's a menu. It's a multi-page. And there are a few companies that do it. It's not government. It's private companies that do it. And they're itching to do a sale. They're very accommodating. And they're very, very eager. And they came to me when it got to that point. I wasn't so happy about it in the first place. I want to mention to you the issues that came up. I come up in general, with host mothers in general, and with egg donation in particular, and whatever time we have, otherwise next week I want to go on to the next sif. There's a broader question. What defines a mother? Is it birth, the mother giving birth, or is it the biological relationship of the egg, the DNA of the egg? In other words, there's a lot. It's logical to say they have an egg, and Horton sits on the egg. Horton is an elephant. You aware of that? You ever heard of Horton? Never heard of Horton. Horton is an elephant who once sat on an egg, and the baby got birth didn't look like the elephant, and they got very upset. So Horton hatches an egg, right? That's one of Dr. Seuss's books. You're missing your childhood. I don't know. I didn't know I generated so much interest. We'll try to have photostats next week. The the question is, who's the mother? There's a logic to most of the people sitting here, logically, whoever's a biological mother is the mother. The mother who gives birth, you think the mother who gives birth should be the mother. You're bringing rayas. I'm saying logic. Logic would seem, it seems to me, the mother is an incubator. What do we have here? We take an egg from woman A, and we put it into a petri dish, and we take the husband's sperm, and we till it becomes pregnant, and then we implant this. Now, if they were today have an, if there would be such a thing, an incubator that could work from day one of conception, they would use that. They don't have it, so God had created an incubation machine, a woman whose body. This woman, her ovaries don't work, her uterus works, so they have to give her shots to produce the right hormones, but then they implant her. Once the implantation takes place, the body produces its own hormones and everything happens in a normal way. So there's a logic to say that she's an incubator and that the mother is the biological mother. You know, those who bring rayas that it goes basaleda, and there are rayas that it goes basaleda. One is a Gemara in Yevamos Tzadik Zayin. A goyish woman who becomes pregnant and goes to the mikveh to be megayer. The halach is if she tells the bezin she's carrying children, the geyrus counts for the children too. The bezin has to know about it, but the geyrus counts. So here she's tevel in a mikveh, and later she gives birth. Now, the question is, if she gives birth to twins, are they related to each other? If you go past the conception, they're Goyim. Goyshon is Gayer, Kekotin Shonei L'dami. If you go past the Leida, then they're brothers. And there it says that they are related to each other, that they're considered to be related, and that seems to be a Raya, that you go past the Leida. That's a Gemara in Yevamos. Now I have to tell you, Rabbi Chanan in the Kovetz Ha'aris, Simin Yud Gimel, Ois Yud Beis, brings an explanation of the Gemara b'shem Reb Chaim Brisker, which would change the raya of the Gemara. Whether we paskin from this Rabbi Chanan b'shem Reb Chaim is a separate issue, but there is an explanation of the Gemara which doesn't necessarily stem with it, and that's pretty much the issue. In Rabbi Bleich's, I don't remember which volume, his contemporary halachis, he calls it a survey of rabbinic literature. He doesn't say his own psak on it. He surveys rabbinic literature. He brings four shitas. The biological mother is the mother. The birth mother is the mother. She has no mother. Api halacha, such as Tzitzelias, I think he says, there's no mother. There's not a mother is biological. And there's not a mother. I don't know what it means. There's no mother. And then that you have to be chayshish for both mothers. New Shilas is tumul, and slowly, very often, things come around one day. It seems to me, I may be wrong, that the Peskim of the second generation are going with the Mahalach that the biological mother is the mother and not the birth mother. I think that's their general approach. We'll see if it plays out that way. So that, I don't think about the law in Israel. I'm telling you about the later Tshuva Svarim's assumption. Now, she can't. All right. So everyone brings a raya from Dina. So they all bring a raya. It's an agadat raya. Yeah, there's a Tana, but we don't pass halachas from the Chuvas Yezim and Azil, but from the Targum Yezim and Azil. The Marsha brings it. The Marsha doesn't bring them Targum Yainasin. He brings them from the Zayar Chada. She calls it. And the Marsha is a Nida Daf, probably Daf Tazayin, and that's Sugya. The Marsha says that when Leah davened that she shouldn't have a seventh son, that Rachel should have, that the Zera that was in Leah's womb switched over miraculously into Rachel's. And Yosef, therefore, may have been Leah's child, may have been, and Dina may have been biologically Rachel's child. So they use that to answer how Shimon can marry Dina. Right, you're not allowed to marry even a ben last. I'll marry Achim me of Avimai. They say no, because Dina impregnation took place in Rachel, so it wasn't Achosei me Imai. It was only Achosei me Aviv. So they want to bring a raya from there. Now these things, it's a nice rayas for talking and learning. Hard to paskin from these type of rayas. Anyway, I'm not paskining anything. I want to tell you, once upon a time, I wasn't busy with the world, and I was more busy with talmidim in the shul. This couple, I got involved with them very heavily, and we questioned the salesman who was doing the sale. How do you know? He said that the egg is Jewish. You know, it could be one non-Jewish egg. There was the egg is Jewish. How do you know the egg is Jewish? We pressed him. So we got back an answer that the grandfather was a rabbi. What kind of rabbi was he? In Jerusalem, he was a rabbi. He came as Rabbi Zalman, but he claimed was a grandfather. And he said which city he was from. I called a Rav. It's an out-of-town city. I can't even say, because no one knows the child's related. In Philadelphia, there's a rabbi, Izarovich, if I'm not pronouncing it right. Lazarovich. I called Rabbi Lazarovich. I called, really, for his father. His father wasn't alive. He took over the shteller. And I said, listen, they're giving me certain ID. They gave me the age of the mother and the characteristics for the questionnaire. We figured out who the mother was. Rabbi Lazarovich went himself to the donor of the egg's mother, and she started crying. She said, my daughter's donating eggs. I said, how could you do it? The child's going to be a guy. And she was so mole simcha that the child's going to be a Jew. It was Nikarim Divrei Emes. And we gave a letter to the parents, signed by three rabbanim, Rabbi Lazar, myself, and one other rav was involved, saying that the child was born in this and this year, and this year was learning in this and this university where she gave the eggs. So the whole havchana shav is not a shayla. When they do shiduchim, they just make sure the mishutechis, his mother, was not learning in the university in that particular university at all. It's so vital. It was like a one in a million maisa that happened. Otherwise, it's difficult to get around the havchana issue. The havchana issue is a problem. You're better off with a gayish child being megayer. It creates new problems. If the father's a kayin and the son getting aliyah as a Yisrael, how do you explain that to people? You don't have to explain everything to people, but the gabbai says, what are you doing? Kayin is Yisrael. It's a real problem. If the child's a girl, it doesn't really come up too much. Right? An adopted child generally is known. If you want to hide it, you can. It's a half-adopted child, but they keep it secret. The woman was pregnant. She walked around town pregnant. You know, she carried the child. And it's an issue. Anyway, to sum up, I want to stop. I want to go to the next sif. To sum up, what we did today is we discussed the fact that we have clear Makairis, B'di'eved. I don't know if the Samar Rebbe argues B'di'eved. He argues L'chatchila. He says there are Afchana issues. But L'chatchila, B'di'eved, once a child is born, it's pretty clear from the Beis Shmuel, the Taz, the Bach, and the Smak, that it's Miyuchis Acharav, which is really what we want. That the child is Miyuchis Acharav of the father whose zera was used, so that if it's the husband's zera, it's the husband's, and if it's someone else, it's someone else. It's Miyuchis Acharav. With a guy's zera, it's much better. With a Jew's zera, it's much better. With Sad Yichus, Sad Midas of the child, it may be worse. Okay, next week we go to Siv Chesed.